Peace and blessings, y'all compadres, and welcome to Keeping It Real. And can you please pass the turkey? Because we're talking about Thanksgiving.
Are you comedy me?
So Thanksgiving is a time for celebration, good food, and getting together with family and friends. People supposedly gather around and they give thanks, but they also devour massive amounts of food, stuffing, cranberry pie, cranberry sauce, apple pie, pumpkin pie, and of course, like we said, some good old-fashioned turkey. That's what we're talking about in this episode. So the first Thanksgiving, as a lot of people commonly misunderstandingly know it as, occurred in 1621 between the Pilgrims of Plymouth Colony and the Wampanoag tribe. Oh, which happens to be in present-day Massachusetts. That's in the United States of America. And in elementary school, probably y'all mislearned, because you were miseducated, that these separatist religious extremists from Britannia came across the sea, and then they had all these Native Americans who welcomed them with open hands and said, "Welcome, come to our country and take it over." And of course, there was a whole bunch of promises of love and friendship and trust and, you know, share our land and share our food and these kind of things. And so, of course, the friendly Native Americans, also known as the Indians, also known as Injuns, which is a derogatory form that, unfortunately, throughout the history of the United States, the Native Americans have been known as the Injuns. And of course, the friendly Indians, they welcomed these courageous and pioneering pilgrims into this new civilization called America. And of course, they taught them, you know, the pilgrims, how to live in this fascinating new place, this new world full of new opportunities. And they taught them how to grow crops and land that they had never seen before, because New England is at a different latitude, longitude than America, right? So this is what the common story is. Oh, of course, and then after the Native Americans and the Indians teach the colonialist settler pilgrims, you know, how to do all this stuff, then they sit down together and they have this great meal where, you know, the Native Americans bring deer and corn, and the pilgrims, they bring, I guess, turkey, even though that doesn't make sense. So the Native Americans also brought turkey, and they brought a whole bunch of other stuff, and they sat down together and they gave thanks to the Lord of both the Indian and the pilgrim for this beautiful feast. And apparently they feasted for 3 long days, just a whole bunch of fun. And so this is what is called Thanksgiving, apparently, in the United States of America. And of course, after this, you know, 3-day Thanksgiving feast of giving thanks, the Native Americans all of a sudden disappear, and nobody knows what tribe they were, or where they were from, or where they came from, or where they went to. But, you know, at least we have Thanksgiving. And so what is conveniently being taught as this Thanksgiving myth, which is known, you know, across the internet and cyberspace, is that the Native Americans just kind of conveniently handed over their country to the pilgrims for their colonialist expansionist project, right? And then they were totally okay with this, apparently. And this is why they celebrated Thanksgiving with one another. And that's about it. Apparently, this is what the Thanksgiving myth is. And so every single year, people celebrate Thanksgiving. But as you might have already guessed, this is just a myth. It is a legend. It's not true. When you look into historical accounts, they are completely different. So today on Keeping It Real, we are gonna tell the people out there what truly is happening, or what truly happened in Thanksgiving. Because, as we quote here, so I have a quote here. Oh, well, actually, before we say the quote, the reason that we're taking this, you know, adventure, endeavor to clarify the truth about Thanksgiving is because apparently the reality of Thanksgiving and the historical aspect of Thanksgiving is not taught, neither to the American people nor to the little school children that are in elementary schools, right? So we have taken up the oath and the honor to clear up some very small but, you know, important misconceptions regarding Thanksgiving. And so, talking about the misinformation that is out there about Thanksgiving, we have a really interesting quote here where apparently not only is Native American history inaccurately taught in American schools, a lot of the time, they don't even teach Native American history at all. It was like these people didn't even exist, right? Totally just wipe them off the map. So, quote, Philip DeLoria, Harvard professor and scholar of Native American history, she says many students still complete an American education unsure about the place of Native people in the nation's past or in its present. So here's what's actually happened. We're not going to get into a lot of the, you know, details, but this is what actually happened. Apparently, the Native Americans have been living in the United States of America for over 12,000 years, right? And according to some historians, the Native Americans had been living there since the beginning of time. And so 12,000 years means that that's a really way, way long time before the Hispanians and the Francanians and the Britannians and the Portuguesians and all these guys invaded. The Native Americans were already there. So another one of the misconceptions that's out there is that this Mayflower, which is the ship in which the Pilgrims had come across the Atlantic Ocean to come to the Americas, and he's going to show it on this side on the screen, the Mayflower, it was some kind of first contact, right? So the Native Americans, they're like, oh, who's these people, you know, coming over here? And then who were the people? The Pilgrims on the Mayflower were like, oh, look at these people, you know, we've never seen them kind of. And, well, actually, apparently this wasn't a first contact type thing, which is known as the Thanksgiving thing. Apparently the Wampanoag tribe, which is the tribe that hosted and apparently, you know, was there when the Pilgrims came, they had already had contacts with the Europeans for many, many years before this whole Thanksgiving event type thing. And actually, some of the Wampanoag tribe even spoke English, so they were able to, you know, they didn't have to hand sign with each other, they could speak with each other. And apparently, the Wampanoag tribe had had contact with Europeans for over 100 years. That's 100. 100 years. That's a long time, right? And anyways. Now, right from the beginning, a lot of the Native Americans, they disagreed with Chief Usamequin's choice. Chief Usamequin. His choice to get into some kind of an alliance with the Pilgrims. And of course, that's because the Native Americans had already had, experience with the Europeans and, you know, them taking them as slaves and them killing them and them, right, taking away their stuff and stealing from them and trying to bamboozle them and, you know, confuse them and like, hey, Native American, I'll buy your land and I'll sell you some glass in return. So they had already had these experiences, and they said, Chief Usamequin, you know, for God's sake, because they believe in, you know, a spirit god type thing. So for God's sake, don't get into an alliance with these European Britannian Pilgrims, because they're just going to continue to kill us and slaughter us and trade us as slaves, you know, in the West Indies, or they're going to take our land. So right from the beginning, this is what really happened. There was kind of a scuffle between the Native Americans and them not liking the Pilgrims, because the Pilgrims, based upon them being Europeans, you know, had already, like, destroyed a whole bunch of stuff. So apparently, according to illuminatives.org, there wasn't even an invitation to the Wampanoag tribe from the Pilgrims, right? So let's turn it around. The Pilgrims never invited the Wampanoag tribe to come and, you know, Thanksgiving and all these things. So, and apparently it wasn't a feast, like, as they say, that they came and these guys came and they ate together and whatever and they celebrated Thanksgiving. Apparently the Pilgrims, you know, because I'm fairly sure that alcohol is involved somewhere around here, but they start firing in the air, you know, does, and the Native Americans kind of freak out, like, you know, what's going on, you know, it doesn't sound like thunder, and so they knew it was a gun. So apparently Chief Usamequin, he sends 90 people from his tribe, who was apparently like a small army, to go and check out what's going on and what these Pilgrims are up to and, you know, what's happening, why are they firing guns in the air. I mean, it's like, who celebrates, you know, by just started firing, you know, shooting in the air. It was like strange British people. It's like, so here's where it starts to get weird. Apparently, in the first encounter of the Wampanoag tribe with these Pilgrims was when the Pilgrims stole from them. It ain't no Thanksgiving. And so it wasn't until much later that the so-called alliance on behalf of Chief Usa Miquin came about, you know. But it was only after, like, the majority of the population of the Native Americans had been killed due to a disease which had been brought by the European colonialist settlers, you know. And to boot, they called it Indian fever. It's like, I mean, like, can you be more audacious? Not only do you bring a disease from your land into the land of other people and your disease kills the Native Americans, but after that you have the audacity to call it Indian fever. Shouldn't it have been like white man fever, European man fever, colonialist fever, Zionist fever? Yeah, man. All these Europeans brought diseases to wherever they went. It's quite unfortunate. So when you look at North America, it was all these, like, because Spain was a colonizer, imperialist. Portugal was a colonized imperialist. France was a colonized imperialist. Britain was a colonized imperialist, right? That's just in the Americas. If you go to the Africas, it's like Germany was also involved, and Luxembourg was involved, and, you know, it's like these guys had nothing better to do with their lives than go destroy other people's lives. But, well, and continuing, apparently a study published in the Journal of Quaternary Science Reviews estimates that by 1620, that's 1 year before the 1621 Thanksgiving myth, disease had already reduced the New England Native American population by 90%. And of course, as we already mentioned, the Wampanoag people had been ravaged by this disease called Indian fever, which happened to be the disease that the Europeans brought. 90% of the population died. Right? That's so, like, if you have 10 people on an island, 9 of them just die. That's 90%. Right? If you have 1 million people, 900,000 died. And, you know, extrapolate the rest. Well, here's something really interesting when talking about this Indian fever. So apparently you bring the disease and then you blame the victims. And so for us, it was like, kind of sounds like COVID-19. So that first legendary harvest that occurred, of course, was followed by deadly conflicts where a lot of people were killed, a lot of people died. I mean, of course, you know, for the last, you know, few decades, your land is being stolen and your people are being enslaved and your people are dying left and right, women and children, from diseases brought about by these people whom nobody invited, you know. It's like they just came on their own. So you see that the situation was actually quite bad, very, very different than what the Thanksgiving myth, which has been promoted, unfortunately, and is taught in the schools all across the United States of America. So apparently, after this so-called 1621 Thanksgiving feast, we find that there's a lot of massacres that occur between these colonizers, settlers, and the Native Americans, including the Pequot Massacre of 1836, and of course, the beheading of the Wampanoag leader Metacomet in 1676. Okay, so now we're kind of continuing towards the end of the program. So you really need to know about King Philip's War, right? Because it was apparently one of the bloodiest wars between the colonialist settlers and the Native Americans. While we're talking about Native Americans, apparently they are derogatorily known as Indians, right? So when apparently Christopher Columbus thought that he landed in India because he was really trying to go to India, right? And so he came and he saw these people and he called them Indians, thinking that he was in India. Now, you would have thought that, listen, man, you know, you figure out that this is not India, so these can't be Indians. Why would you continue to call them Indians? But no, apparently for the rest of eternity, they keep on calling these people Indians. So in Western movies, they started calling them Indians. Well, look at them Indians, tail, tail, cowboy type films. So derogatory term, please. Either call them Native Americans, original Americans, or you can call them by their tribe name, right? So like the Mount Wampanoag tribe, or the Mississippi tribe, or the Choctaw tribe, or, you know, etc. So apparently King Philip's War was a devastating and a very bloody war. Why do we bring it up? Because it involves Chief Usa Miquin, the guy we talked about earlier in our program. So King Philip's War is actually named after Chief Metacomet. Now, Chief Metacomet is AKA Chief Usa Miquin's son. So we're gonna call him Chief Metacomet Ibn Usa Miquin. All right, I like that, yeah. I have to think about this stuff, man. It takes me hours. or it takes the scripter hours to come up with this kind of stuff, right? It's just so catchy. So apparently King Philip was Chief Metacomet's English moniker. So we like to come up with new terms and, you know, define them on the show. So moniker is another name for nickname, you know? So it's like, hey, nice moniker, right? So, but this is what's crazy, is apparently, so this is what the British and even the Americans to a certain extent, but more the British, this is what they like to do, right? So when they can't pronounce your name, they just give you a nickname. They give you a moniker, right? And so, What's even worse is, why wouldn't you give them a nickname that kind of sounds like his name? So, you know, you'd be like, Metacomet would be like Meta, or Comet, or, you know, Etico, or something like that. But no, they gave him the nickname Philip. So it's like, it's just kind of like the age and this peak of supremacist racism is, we're going to give you a nickname, and it's going to be a nickname that's based upon our language and our culture. So they called him King Philip. How British. So when talking about King Philip's War, there's an article in the Historical Journal of Massachusetts, which says that this war probably claimed, meaning died, as many as 30% of the total English population in New England, and more than half of the total Native American population living in New England at the time. So in this war, King Philip's War, which was named after who? King Metacomet ibn Usamequin, right? Apparently claimed 30% of the total English people population in New England, and over 50% of the Native American population. That's a lot, man. Jeez, like, that's a lot of killing. And then they come up with this whole Thanksgiving thing. Really, they're like killing each other. And according to It Happened in Rhode Island, which sounds like a romance novel, It Happened in Rhode Island, you know? Where do you guys come up with these titles from? This war ended in the Sachem. Now, Sachem means great chief in the Native American language. The great Sachem, Metacomet ibn Usamequin, was eventually beheaded and then dismembered. And the great chief Sachem's head was put on a spike, and it was kept on a spike for 25 years, according to It Happened in Rhode Island. 25 years, that's like almost as old as I am, right? To show the other people and the other allies and tribe members and the other, you know, friends and soldiers of Chief Sachem, Metacomet ibn Usamequin, were sold into slavery into the West Indies. And all of this because the Wampanoag tribe and Chief Sachem, Metacomet ibn Usamequin, how? But because these people, and the chief were saying that you're not going to turn us into some landless, subjugated people. Because at the rate that things are going, you're going to take all the land from us. Either you kill us and take the land, or you bribe us and take the land, or you sell us alcohol and take the land, or you sell us glass and take the land, or you just give us some kind of crazy fever and all of us die and you take the land. So they said, enough is enough. We are going to stand up and fight for our God-given rights, great God-spirit rights, and the rights to our land, because we own it and you don't. And because of this, they were massacred, ends up being the King Philip's War, which, as we said, 30% of the English population and 50% of the Native American population died because of this. And what's really interesting is that, unfortunately, these colonialist settler pilgrims, they just acted like some Zionists, and they just bulldozed all these Indians left and right and just killed them all like there was just a bunch of Palestinians. So unfortunately, this was the end of our first episode. We tried to keep it within the time limit, but apparently I just talked too much. See you in the next episode. Keeping it real. Man, why can't I? It's the title of the show, man. Top. Ugh. Man, this is a weird thing. Okay. Okay, we're ready. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in. Okay. Let's do this. Real, we're talking about... I missed a sentence. Man. All right. We're gonna be all right. It's just the beginning that is messed up. I told you it's on. Whatever, dinosaur guy.
I love the dinosaur.
Yeah. Thanksgiving is time for celebration. Good food. And giving thanks. I should have memorized some of these names. They're Native American tribes.
I suppose you could do that.
Wherever you are.